The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second hour of the program. First hour was pretty wild. We had Booger McFarland on, and he had some of the strongest comments yet on Tim Tebow, and really still getting some of your reaction to what Booger said. We'll change gears in a few minutes with some other guests, and we will continue with your phone calls as well. And if you want to get in, this is a pretty good moment to call us at 855-242-7285. Let's check out Ricky, who was up next in Alabama. Hey, Ricky, thank you. Good afternoon.
And thanks for letting me in.
Sure.
I want to talk about Booger on the comments with Tebow. Do you not think he might make a better tight end than a quarterback?
I certainly think it's possible, yes. But I frankly think he is going to be on the roster, and I think Booger was trying to say that in a way. There's no reason to go through this dog and pony show if you don't think he can make it.
Yes, correct. See, I'm originally from Tampa, Florida. I'm a Gator fan. So when I know he's not that good of a quarterback, but I've always had a feeling he could play like fullback or tight end. Now, I don't know if he could catch the ball, but I just, had a feeling. So I think maybe Urban knows something in him that we don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not. I think this is, let's be realistic. And I know even those of us who care about Tim a lot have a hard time being objective and realistic, but he's at a point in his life. He's about to be 34 years old where he really needs to make a pivot because
I'll
be as nice about this as possible. The baseball experience was, I thought a waste of time. What did he accomplish playing, spending a year getting ready to play baseball and then 3 years in the minor leagues? What was the lasting memory of that?
Yeah, I think it was the baseball was a waste of time too. I think he should have tried back because now he's older. So only thing is he going to be able to take the big hits now?
I think he can. I think Tim Tebow has always been able to take hits. I mean, you never know what you can get hurt doing anything in sports, but I think Tebow is built to take hits.
Yeah, because he is built, but I just think that, he's older. So, but I've always, with him playing, I'm a Gators fan. I always just, when he went to the NFL, thought he should have been maybe tight end or fullback, never a quarterback.
Ricky, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Rick is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Rick, doing great. Thank you.
Okay. A quick comment on Tebow. This has to be looked at really from a coach's point of view.
Okay.
Urban Meyer is coming from college. Now, we all know, statistically speaking, the odds are against him succeeding. Successful college coaches coming to the NFL don't have a lot of success. Only two have made it to the Super Bowl?
Well, Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson.
Johnson and Jim Harbaugh, and Harbaugh lost.
Two have won the Super Bowl. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, he won it with Johnson's guys, but
true,
yeah, you're right.
True. You are correct about that.
He's easy to forget about. But, so he knows it's against him. Bringing Tebow in, he knows Tim, and Tim, and I've never met the guy, of course, but you have, but just from what I've seen of him, he don't need this for celebrityism. He's got that. There's things he can do. He can be on cameo.
Yeah, but hold on just 1 second. Let me ask you a question. What has Tim Tebow done lately that has created this much conversation?
All right. With the fans, I don't know. With Urban, it's that he knows Tim will give it everything, and he will be team
hey,
first.
Hey, I'm gonna interrupt you again, okay? I'm just having some fun here. Okay. What NFL player is not going to give it everything?
Oh, you'd be surprised, Paul.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. If you're trying to make it in the NFL and you do it haphazardly, you'll have a quick exit.
There are players, and I'm not talking about new guys. I'm talking about veterans, okay?
Well, I'm talking about a new guy. I'm talking about a guy that signed a free agent contract. Tell me one that has not give me a name of a free agent who shows up at camp and goes, you know, I'm not going to try very hard.
No, I'm not talking about them. Yeah, they're trying to get a job and get that money. I'm talking about Urban, sort of like Jimmy, because he signed several ex-Hurricanes that played for him. Most of them didn't make it at first, I mean, as far as the roster. But that's not why Jimmy had him brought. He had him brought on so they could show the mentality.
Well, you know, I just thought of something. I don't know if you agree. Here we go with another Gator again. But Spurrier signed Danny Werfel to play for the Redskins when I think his career was on extremely shaky ground. So it is not uncommon for coaches to bring their former players on board. It is uncommon to do it after 9 years.
Well, that's true, Paul. And to be honest with you, I don't think Urban expects Tebow to make the roster. As someone who's, I think Urban looked at this as Tebow's going to make sure everybody, especially the veterans who've been used to losing, sort of like what Don Shula did in Miami, bringing in a few people from teams and John, so show them what it takes. That desire, that I'm not about me, it's about the team. We got to go out there. We got to give it all we got. Now, I don't know how successful that will be in a free agency era.
Yeah, you said something that may be very true. Urban may know deep down there's no chance, but he also knows that he can now look Tim in the mirror, not in the mirror, but in his eyes, and say that he's given him every chance to make it in the NFL.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's not going to hurt Urban as far as Tim goes.
No. And all this chatter now, I don't think any of this matters. I will say this. Tebow is being slammed harder lately than he has in a long time, but that comes with being a celebrity, and if you don't want to put yourself out there, stay home.
Yeah, but you're right, yeah. And Tim will take it, but Tim can take it. He is that. He's strong enough from what I've seen and read about him and everything. He's strong enough. But he will show the others what Urban expects out of them there with the Jaguars, even when he doesn't make the roster.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Jeff is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I appreciate your show. I think Tebow's going to bring, you know, tickets to the seats to the tickets, and also he's going to bring some integrity and put God back into the NFL, and I'd like to see somebody take a knee in front of him and see what he has to say to one of these players.
So let me ask you, so you think if somebody took a knee in front of Tebow, he would say something to him?
Well, I would hope, you know, behind the locker room, he's going to, you know, say, hey, you know, respect your country, you know, the men that fought for our country even.
No, I'm just trying to imagine, and help me for a second here. Let's say there's a longtime veteran on the team. Let's say it's Booger McFarland, okay, just for the sake of argument. Let's say Booger McFarland takes a knee, even though I don't know whether he would or wouldn't. You're telling me you think Tebow would go up to him in the locker room and tell him he's wrong?
Well, I kind of hope he would at least voice his opinion, and I think he's going to be a great leader for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and also he'll be a mentor to the new quarterback's name again.
Trevor
from
Lawrence.
Clemson. Trevor Lawrence. Yes, thank you for helping me. But yes, sir. I mean, I agree 100%. He's going to bring some integrity back to the NFL.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
So
you're saying, I'm not playing devil's advocate, although I think I am. As a backup tight end, you think he's going to bring integrity back to the NFL? How? Is he the only Christian in the NFL?
I just think in general, you know, I mean, he's a good guy all around. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I mean, by hearing all about him, I
and Jeff, you don't think there are any other good people in the NFL? Do you think they're all miscreants? Are you serious?
I'm just saying in general, I think he'll bring some integrity back to the game and respect.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I want to follow up on that. I'm going to ask a question. Is Tim Tebow going to change the reputation and image of the NFL? Is Tim Tebow going to bring integrity back to the NFL? I mean, I don't know about you. I see them give out a Man of the Year award every year at the NFL. I see them honor people that can make contributions to the community. Is Drew Brees not a good person? Are there countless others in professional football that have integrity, that are religious? I'm just asking questions. Is Tim Tebow going to change the culture of the NFL by being on a roster? If he does that, and if he is that powerful, this was clearly worth it. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. I want to amend something we were talking about earlier. We're talking about college coaches who have won Super Bowls, and I failed to mention Pete Carroll winning, of course, the Super Bowl at Seattle. So, Pete, thanks for calling me and correcting me on that. It's always great to welcome our next guest to the program. He is just truly one of the most remarkable sports business reporters in the land. He is Daniel Libet from Sportico, and his latest headline: secret documents reveal Learfield IMG's take from college deals. For those who don't know, Learfield IMG is one of the most influential rights holder in the industry, and we'll talk about what all this means as we say hello to Daniel. Daniel, thank you for the time. Before we even get to your piece, let's talk a little bit about Learfield IMG. We always hear them when we're watching games on Saturday, but who are they?
Yeah, well, you said it correctly. They are certainly one of the most influential public companies involved in college sports. You know, they start out in the 1970s as this Missouri local group of radio stations and get into the college game through the University of Missouri. And from that point on, get more and more college clients over the decades and become the sort of preeminent rights holder for really almost every university of note in college athletics. And they kind of set up what has become the traditional college sports multimedia rights third-party arrangement, where schools will sell the license to their intellectual property to, in this case, Learfield, which will then go out and try to get as much money as they can. And in so doing, will pay the schools a base fee. For most schools, the base fee is what they end up earning as part of this arrangement. And then Learfield or their competitors earn what's on top. And for most of the time, you know, the real cornerstone of these deals and the real value to them has been radio rights. That was the case up until, you know, maybe recently, where that was the most valuable property, at least intellectual property, that an athletics department had to sell, was who got to broadcast their football games on radio, at least locally. And Learfield was in that business and handled a lot of that business. And then in 2018, they merged with a competitor at the time, which had also become a major player in the space, IMG, and became this huge conglomerate after the Department of Justice did a big investigation to see if this violated antitrust laws. And so this takes us to 2018. And now, you know, here we are 3 years later, and there's been a sea change in college sports that has touched even this space too. And we've noticed certainly in the wake of COVID and the interruptions to last college football season, some questions from both the company and from college athletic departments around the country as to whether or not this deal makes the most sense for them. For most, this has been very good for them, especially smaller schools that were able to get a guaranteed rights fee from Learfield, and then, you know, put the onus on Learfield to actually go out and make the money to make up for whatever was spent. But then there's other universities on the upper tier of the spectrum that arguably may have left some money on the table. And a few of those are universities that we write about in the story that you referenced.
And I want to go there next, because you have uncovered quite a bit. And first of all, as you talk about what you uncovered, what kind of money are we talking about? What do these schools make?
Well, these are agreements that are in the millions of dollars. You know, they can be up into the tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, what they effectively have done, so, you know, where this began really with radio rights, obviously there's just more media out there. There's more assets to sell, if it's digital, if it's signage and stadiums, if it's the naming rights to stadiums. So the business has gotten more complex and intricate. But, you know, for let's say a group of five university, you know, maybe they will have earned a few million dollars, $1 to $3 million, as part of their multimedia rights deal. But then you get to the upper tier universities, and you know, you really are approaching in close to $20 million a season that they could theoretically or do earn through by selling their radio rights and their other media rights.
Daniel Libet with us from Sportico. Daniel, no one ever wants facts like this brought out. whether it's personal contracts or business arrangements, but when, as you uncovered all this, you discovered some pretty big name schools, Nebraska, Georgia, to start out. And you what did you learn, and what have you revealed in your piece?
Yeah, well, so with those schools in particular, let's take Nebraska, because there's actually some news of late with Nebraska and Learfield. So Nebraska had a long contract with Learfield, a long relationship, well over a decade, and that relationship is coming to a close next month. Their deal that they've been on is ending, and Nebraska has decided to do something that's fairly rare up until this point, at least. They're deciding to take all of their multimedia rights and handle the business in-house, sell their own radio rights, sell their own signage, sell their own promotional from within the athletic department, and not work through a third party. That is, up to this point, been very uncommon, although we might see more and more of that as time goes by. What I found in some documents I obtained through a public records request from Nebraska was basically the breakdown. What was Nebraska getting for their multimedia rights in an annual basis, and what was Learfield getting? And I found that, you know, according to at least the documents that Learfield produced for Nebraska for the 17-18 and 18-19 seasons, that Nebraska was basically leaving about $6 million in change on the table. That was money that Learfield had brought in selling Huskers assets, but that then, you know, wasn't sticking with the school. Nebraska was getting just a little over what their base fee was, and the rest was going to the Learfield side of the ledger. Now, that's not net profit necessarily for Learfield, but that was net revenue as part of this agreement, and it worked out to almost about a third. They were paying about a third of what they earned in terms of revenue as a effectively as a commission to Learfield. And so, you know, Nebraska was all too happy to talk to us about this, because certainly with the figures out, this sort of vindicates their decision to ditch a company like Learfield and try to handle this in-house. You mentioned Georgia as well. Georgia is in a different position. Georgia is still has many years left on their deal with Learfield. In fact, their deal is a joint venture between Learfield and another company called JMI Sports. Georgia appears to be leaving even more money potentially on the table. We found that from last year, 1920, Georgia saw about $7.4 million of revenue that was earned going to its third party multimedia rights holders. That was about 40 some percent effectively of a commission. Now Georgia, when we talked to them about this, whether or not they were unhappy with this, they said on the record that they were very content with their arrangement. And you know, the question is whether or not Learfield is performing such a service for a school like Georgia that Georgia wouldn't in and of itself be able to earn the same kind of revenue and then keep that $7.4 million within the athletic department as opposed to paying it out as a fee.
In the end, Daniel, let's talk about what this really means, because a lot of people don't follow this in the vagaries that you do. But if you had to put a bow on this, are you suggesting? Well, what are you? And I realize you're a reporter, so you know you're not putting a commentary tilt. But what should be the takeaway from what you learned?
Well, you know, this kind of fits with a lot of other things that we're noticing in college sports. I mean, we are in this moment of disruption where a lot of the norms that we have seen over decades are maybe not for much longer. If this is everything from name, image, and likeness reform and what college athletes are allowed to earn, or in this case, you know, we're talking with Learfield and with these kind of traditional multimedia rights deals. This has been in place for now decades, and Learfield has been this very salient force in college athletics for decades because of this arrangement. And, you know, it goes both ways. I mean, we found a school in UCLA that seems to be a lost leader for Learfield, at least among the schools that we were able to get documents for. Learfield, you know, was losing money for selling UCLA rights over the last couple of seasons. So, I mean, we're seeing that, you know, here this norm is probably due for reform, and whether or not that's the companies themselves deciding, as we've noticed over the last couple of years, but particularly since last spring, that, you know, companies like Learfield want to renegotiate these deals. Probably going into the future, they want it to be much more of a shared revenue deal as opposed to them paying a set fee to schools. And we're also seeing in some cases that schools themselves think that they can do this without outsourcing, you know, this work to a third party. And so, you know, this just fits into the pattern of, you know, big things that we had come to rely on in college sports changing before our eyes.
Daniel Livett from Sportico, always great information. And Daniel, we have to talk soon as we head toward the end of May into June with everything on the table straight ahead, as you mentioned, with NIL. Always great to talk to you, and it's a pleasure to have you on again.
Thanks, Paul. I will be happy to come back.
Look forward to it. Daniel Livett, so many interesting comments from him, and we will take a break. Gene Sapikoff at the top of the hour on the utter debacle at the University of South Carolina with the president's chair. He'll give us his view on that. Plus, your phone calls, a lot of conversation about Tebow today. Booger McFarland really stirred it up. If you missed it, we may play a cut or two of what he had to say. And we are continuing right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back here on a Thursday afternoon. Rob is up next in Texas. Hey, Rob.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I thank you for continuing the discussion on Tim Tebow. I think when a football team discovers or wants to give an option for someone to make a team, my first thought would be with Tim Tebow is that what does he run the 40 in? You know, and how does that compare with, you know, the elite tight ends in the league or the average tight ends in the league? Let's set him up in front of a ball machine where, you know, they.
Yeah, he, I believe when he originally, now this was 10 years ago, he ran it in 4.71. Now, I don't know, you know, that's fairly normal for a quarterback.
But, you know, how does that compare with the tight ends? And then Booger McFarland mentioned, you know, the one time he was throwing a ball, it hit him in the head.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that is really unfair to keep using one clip that doesn't really represent who he is.
Right. Let's set up the machine, you know, where it comes at you, catch it, drop it, catch
but,
it, drop
but
it.
Listen, he has already worked out with the Jags two or three times. I'm sure with the tight end coach knows what to do. My guess is that he looked pretty good. Otherwise, he wouldn't be back.
Right, and to the other issue of people being so engaged in this, I am a dad, and right now our boys are in our 20s. But I can remember when they were young, how we had, you know, there are role models out there, but, you know, we wished for people that when they scored, you know, I like the Kansas City receiver that did the backflip, Tyreek Hill last year. That was awesome. But there are people out there or families that's like, Can we show our kids that you act like you've been there before when you score a touchdown? I go back to 1999. I live in Abilene, Texas, and so Abilene Christian University had a track star named Bobby Morrow who won 3 gold medals in the 56 Olympics. So I work in the media, and so I drove down to his house in San Benito, Texas. And in his home, in his childhood home, I asked him, with the Sportsman of the Year trophy behind him, I said, what was the best thing about that experience? He said, just remembering what my track coach told me, Oliver Jackson at ACU, to act like you've been there before. And so I don't think, as far as bringing the God issue back into things, there are Christians out there. Russell Wilson, you see him praying in the middle of the field.
Yeah, you know, I think that's enough. I'm glad you brought that up, and I cringed a minute ago because we act like there aren't good people in the NFL. There are many. There's some absolute disasters too. But that's the thing about Tebow, though, that people tend to look past a lot of things when talking about Tebow.
Do you remember the ESPN special that they did when it was about Florida won the national championship and Tebow was wearing the Philippians 4:19 or 4:9 under his eyes? And they asked Coach Meyer, they said, what was more important for Tebow, for that message to get out or was it to win the game? And unequivocally, Meyer said, for that message to get out. Now, obviously, it probably was extremely important for him to win the game. But I thought that was very telling.
No, but that's who he is, and I don't know. I thought the caller a few minutes ago to say that was, I mean, they're just so, and I've met some of them. We all know who some of them are. But, I mean, J.J. Watt a couple of years ago, remember all the things he did. Eli Manning has always been exemplary. Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, it's
they're countless,
and you meant, you know,
when they say the word polarizing, give me the definition of polarizing with Tebow. What does he do that's polarizing?
Well, I think he doesn't do anything. It's the fact that, you know, he is an evangelist in many respects, because he spends a lot of time, you know, speaking at churches, and
that's polarizing in America.
Well, no, I'm just telling you what he does that some people would interpret as polarizing. And
who interprets speaking at a church about goodness and love as polarizing?
No, hey, listen, you'll get no argument from me. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to answer a question about why people.
Right.
I've seen it up close. I mean, I've seen the adulation, but I've also heard, and I'm not going to get into a lot because it's just not fair. But I've heard it from. Well, anything I say now is going to make news, so I'm just going to keep quiet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much credence we should give to people that call other people polarizing because they're trying to do good things. Now, if he went out and did something horrible, I'd be the first one to whatever.
Well,
I
can tell you.
But I'm just saying,
Tim Tebow has never been in trouble at any time in his life other than, you know, maybe throwing an interception.
Right. But I still haven't gotten any answer from anyone about what
and by the way, back to what you said a minute ago, I had breakfast with Tim's dad once, Bob Tebow. We were, who knows where we were, but we just happened to be sitting together and spent about 30, 40 minutes. And I learned from that conversation a lot about Tim that I didn't know. And you know, he didn't just get this on his own. His parents were missionaries. Mm-hmm. His father was very strict. And, you know, Tim learned. He also has a very supportive family. He's got a sister that Tim in Atlanta, and Robbie's his brother. When you meet one Tebow, you meet them all.
So what's polarizing about that?
Nothing, other than a lot of people don't like people to wear their religion on their sleeve. You and I know that. Even though he doesn't, it's just who he is.
So when Booger McFarland, he said it three or four times, he's polarizing. But basically he was saying people shouldn't be who they want to be.
What you heard from Booger, if I could do some interpretation here, I have heard from a number of people that played professional football and college football. And I'm not going to classify from where they come from or who they are, but there's a certain strain of people. Strain's a bad word. There's a certain group of people that just don't like Tebow for a lot of reasons. And I think some of it's self-explanatory, some of it's not. And I try to talk, when I talk about Tebow, to look at it from a broader picture, because when you know him, you see the good, you see the good with the bad. And the bad is simply this, that wherever you go, you're dealing with a lot of chaos. And that's fine. And you better be willing to sign off on that. And I got to know Tim. I was with him on his first day at ESPN and spent an enormous amount of time with him. And you just have to expect, you have to understand that when you're with Tim Tebow, the world is different. And I say that affectionately. And I defend him even now. But I'm trying to be realistic, because this is a news story here. This isn't just you know, us talking about Tebow as a single entity. I'm trying to give a view of why some people don't like him, and there are a lot that don't. We'll continue with more phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back, and Trevor is up next as we continue here from Michigan. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, how we doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Hey, I was listening to the last segment about Tim Tebow, and I do think that we're a little bit off in calling him polarizing. I think the better word is magnetizing. And, you know, I don't know how divided people are. I mean, I know people find a reason, but I think it really is about how big his star is and where his talent level is. If you think about the situation in Denver and later in with the Jets and the Patriots, here was a situation where 90% of the questions were about Tim Tebow, people almost demanding that he be on the field, and his talent level was not there. I think that's a tough situation for a team when you're trying to win games and you're answering the Tebow question all the time. And he was basically a rock star, in so many words, on the field. And it has me wondering how that's going to be different in Jacksonville. Again, here's maybe a backup tight end, and think about all the questions. It almost has me wondering if this is maybe more about taking some of the pressure off the Trevor Lawrence questions. Now we're talking a little bit more about Tim Tebow and putting a little less pressure on Trevor. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it may do that. I don't think that's the reason for it, though. I could spend as much time as we have every day trying to explain the relationship between Tebow and Urban Meyer, and I'm not sure I would ever make it. I would ever have enough time to talk about it because it's so unique. And I think Urban genuinely feels badly that Tebow didn't make it in the NFL. And I think when he got this opportunity in Tebow's hometown of all places, he wanted it to happen. And I think that's why you saw the private workouts. And if Tebow had failed, I think the story would be over. But he clearly didn't. So it goes on. As far as magnetizing versus polarizing, there's truth in both, except there's just a level there are a lot of people, and I'm being cautious how I say this, who just don't like people like Tebow, okay? And I think it's not so much that they don't like Tebow, is that they don't like the fans of Tebow, if that makes any sense.
It does. I think, again, though, I'm going to say when anyone's star is so big, in come the haters, in come the detractors. And that can be LeBron, it can be Jordan, it can be anyone. And oftentimes it gets to a point of being irrational, you know, with those folks that they're looking and clinging to anything. And that's how I see Tebow.
True.
You know, I'm not even calling myself a huge Tebow fan, but, I mean, my gosh, how can you really hate on anything that he's doing? Whether it's, you know, his love for God or him being a Johnny Do-Right or, you know, the best teammate possible. I mean, how can you really hate on those things other than it just rubs some people the wrong way, of course. But I just, again, I think it's a
bigger
issue.
But it's interesting. I will say this. If I had to target the group of people who I've heard the most complaining about Tebow, it's from people who have played the game. Now, I think that's easy to understand. You don't have to agree. I'm just saying it's easy to understand. There are a lot of people that don't like his approach to the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again.
And by the way, you heard it today from Booger McFarland. We'll replay some of what he said because I think it's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah. Well, again, he's taking some of the spotlight off of a lot of players, you know, with whatever it is he's doing, you know, and I always found that very interesting. But again, I find it more comparable to the bigger stars in the game minus the talent level. So that's kind of where my take was, and I thought it was very interesting. I think you're right about Urban Meyer and his relationship with Tebow and wanting to maybe make some things right. But I also wonder, you know, I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows what is coming aboard when he does that. It's not just goodness of, you know, his heart and the relationship. I think that there may be a little bit more to that. And I find it interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Thank you so much for calling. We are heading to the break, and we will talk about the situation in South Carolina. If you have not heard, Gene Sapochoff joining us in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And more on Tebow right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.